Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Well, good morning and welcome to church. My name's Stan. Welcome to those of you that are online and in the building. It's great to be with you today. Question for you, who needs some help with your relationships? Okay, the rest of you need to offer training for relationships, okay? Because most of you don't need help, it looks like, but I'm guessing that you just didn't raise your hand, but the person sitting beside you wanted to throw your hand up really, really quickly. So, hey, when we think about relationships, we know that it's complicated. And whether it's family, whether it's friends or work colleagues, or whether it's strangers in the marketplace even, we all kind of struggle a little bit relating to one another. This series is all about that. This series is going to help us hopefully navigate how we can have less pain when it comes to people. You know, if you miss any of the messages during this series, you can go to the website, the app, all those things. Or if you're struggling in a relationship and you know it's not your fault, send it to someone else, right? Just send the links to someone else so that they can work on your relationship so it doesn't slip and all that. Hey, anybody ever been in a car accident and it was your fault? It was your fault? Yep. Okay, a few of us. Yes, yes. When I was in my mid-20s, I was driving my brother's car. My brother was 16 years old, and he was living with us at the time. I don't even remember why I'm driving his car, but it was a boat anchor of a car. It was one of those old big tank things, right? And it's raining, and I'm driving, and I'm coming up to an intersection, and the road's wet and everything, and I'm not driving that fast. I'm not a fast driver. I was 25, though, so I'm not, but maybe I was. Anyway, so I put my foot on the brake, and nothing happened. I thought, the road's wet. Maybe that's it. So I put my foot on the brake harder, and still nothing happened. So then I started pumping the brake. And anybody that's had an old car like that, you know what that's all about. You're pumping it, trying to get the brake fluid pumped up in the brakes and everything. And nothing happened. And it was inevitable. I saw the car coming. And there's no way I was going to stop. And I broadsided a car in the intersection. Nobody got hurt, just my pride, and we all walked away. It was a nice car that I hit, too, by the way. His car was worth like $100. This car was more like $10,000, and that was back when I was 25, so that was a long time ago. You know, sometimes, if you've ever been in a situation like that, you know it can be scary, where your car is out of control and danger's ahead, and you're headed to a collision, and you just want to pump the brakes. Our words can be like that. Sometimes our words are coming out of our mouth faster than our mind is processing them. And then words have come out and you see the collision about to happen and you wish you had put on the brakes or you wish the brakes had worked. Communication takes skill and attention. We need to put the brakes on with wisdom sometimes and then we need to steer with wisdom. You know, if we're not careful, our words can become weapons that wound rather than instruments that bring healing. So today, we're going to dive right into one of the biggest relation slips that we all face, and that's communication breakdown. And we're hoping to flip that to learn how to have powerful conversations instead of communication breakdowns. Anybody need that? All right, so for the three of us that need it, I'm going to preach the message. Rest of you can listen in, all right, because you might learn something even if you're not ready. But James talking to us in chapter 1, verse 19, he says, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So the first thing we need to understand about communication is this. Good communication starts with good listening. Yeah, I'm seeing nods right now. Yeah, you're thinking, he never listens. She never listens. I wish she would breathe, right? Right, that kind of, any, yeah. Oh, wow, was that an amen over there, right? Good communication starts with good listening. We need to listen before we speak. Communication breaks down when we respond before we really hear what's being said. We've all been there. We're trying to talk, and then the person that we're trying to talk to and communicate a thought to just keeps interrupting us and talking over us, and we never can finish our thought. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand, especially if you're sitting beside somebody that you might have conversations with. You know, maybe they're not even trying to interrupt us, but then when they respond to you, it becomes clearly evident they didn't hear a word you said, because what they're responding with has nothing to do with what you were saying. What happens in those situations? We feel unheard. We feel disrespected. We feel misunderstood. And we hate that. We hate it when people do that to us. But if we're honest, we all do that from time to time, don't we? How many times have you been in a conversation and while the other person's talking, you're formulating your response? You already know what you think about this situation, and you're just figuring out what you're gonna say to put them in their place. You know that there's a place and that they need to be in that place, so you gotta work really hard to make sure you're able to communicate well, but you're not listening, right? Sadly, often we do have answers, but the answers we have nothing to do with the question being asked or the statement being said. Proverbs chapter 18 says it like this: spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Be slow to speak, be quick to listen. So how do we actually do this? How can you and how can I be better listeners? By the way, I was preparing this message. In this first point, good communication starts with good listening. And then I had a meeting with one of my staff members, and that meeting had interrupted my preparation, but it was a scheduled meeting. So anyway, as they're talking, I start interrupting. I start telling them the solution to everything. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm doing it. Right? And then I shared with that person about this, and they just laughed and they loved it and everything. They said, yeah, you do that a lot. So anyway, you know, if we want to practice better listening, we need to start by putting away distractions. Maybe when you're having a conversation like this, that's not actually the most effective way to listen, right? And we need to set aside sometimes even our own thoughts and our emotions in that moment and just be present. Look them in the eyeball, and then practice what's called active listening. Some of you might have heard of this before. Active listening involves, it's listening attentively to what the person's saying, and then actually turning around and restating it so that they know they were heard. It works kind of like this. So the person would say this: I would like us to spend more time together in the evenings. It would make me feel valued. Anyone want to say that to your partner? No, anyway. And then if you're an active listener, you're not thinking about that joke that you're about to say after that. You're listening to that, and then you're going to do this. You're going to say, I hear you saying you would like to spend more time together in the evenings because it would make you feel valued. Is that correct? What does that do? What that does is it makes the other person know that, wow, they actually heard what I said. They're actually listening to me, and they even understood my feelings about the situation. Now, did we solve anything? No, okay. That's gonna come in a couple of weeks when I talk about conflict. But it lets the person know at least they've been heard, and that goes a long way to solving problems, because we don't always have to agree with each other, but we need to respect each other and at least hear one another and acknowledge the other thought. So we start with good listening. So once we are great listeners, then it's time to think about the words that we're going to respond with. It says this in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring life or death. So we're gonna have a choice to make here. We're gonna bring life or death. So good communication chooses words wisely. It listens first, and then it chooses words wisely. In James chapter 3, it says this: if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and would also control ourselves in every way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Something so small can give direction. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was in Boy Scouts, and we were doing a week-long canoe trip. And my uncle was the scoutmaster. And he was a large guy, probably my size now or bigger. And I was 12, and I had, you know, pimples and all this stuff. And he put me in the back of the canoe, right? He's in the front of the canoe. He's a big guy. I'm a little guy. And the way you steer a canoe is with the paddle. You use it as a rudder. Well, try as I might with my skinny little frail arms, I had trouble steering that canoe with him in the front. And I kept running him under trees and into bushes that were over the river. And he finally got so frustrated, he took the paddle, and they were wooden back then, and he took the paddle from the front of the canoe and just smashed it on a tree. And he may not have chosen his words wisely at that point. I don't quite remember. But that little rudder, actually, once I learned how to use it, I could actually steer him around too and everything, and it was all great. But a big ship is controlled by a small rudder. A horse is controlled by the bit. But the interesting thing about the rudder and the bit is both of those things are instruments in the hands of the person that is guiding it, the rider or the captain of the boat. They are using those as powerful tools. They're useful tools. James goes on. In verse 5, he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. The tongue is a flame of fire. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. The tongue is a powerful instrument. It can do good or evil. I want you to finish this statement. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names or whatever can never hurt me, right? We've heard that. How many heard that growing up? All right. How many said that one time and you were masking the deep pain and hurt that you were feeling by the words that were just spoken to you? Yeah. Can I just say, that's a load of rubbish. Everything else I'm saying today isn't rubbish. That's a load of rubbish. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. See, words have the power to destroy. Just like fire burns and it hurts and it spreads, the tongue is more than a tiny spark that starts forest fires. It is a flame of fire. What kind of words is James talking about here? Well, he's talking about criticism. He's talking about judgmentalism, thoughtless words, lying, gossiping, careless speaking, even too much speaking. All of those would come out in James' teaching. You see, our words burn and hurt if they're not used wisely. Words spoken to people can create deep wounds that last a lifetime. And our words spread. Once our words are out there, you don't get them back. And can I include not just the words that come out of our mouth, but social media? You know, don't be on social media when you're angry or without somebody over your shoulder or anything. Hey, check this before I post it, because it doesn't come back. It's out there. We all know the power of words experientially in our lives. People have said things to us that have either affirmed us or condemned us, and it's had a significant impact. For those of you who have been damaged by words, maybe decades ago even, I just want to encourage you today, you are not those words. You are more than the sum total of those words. Your life is so much more than that. But words shape people, especially from a really young age. I'm always amazed when I'm out in the marketplace, in the shops or whatever, or even sometimes with people maybe close to me, and I'll hear words said to a child, like, you're useless, or you're bothering me. In those moments where we might be feeling frustrated, when we say things like that, those things stick with children. The words we say to our kids mold them and shape them. Our words can either build them up or tear them down. Statistics tell us that kids get one word of affirmation for every 7 words of criticism. That's sobering, friends. That's sobering. Kids remember what you say to them and how that made them feel. And they, I love my grandkids. I love when they say things and stuff. And sometimes I wonder, where in the world did that come from? Who's been saying something to you that made you think that? They also hear what we don't say. I had a young man when I was a youth pastor in my early days of ministry, and he said this. He said, you know, I just want to hear my dad say, I'm proud of you. His dad was a pastor. I've talked to kids that say, I've never heard someone say, I love you. Wow. Words can affirm, they can build up or they can tear down. Compliments and affirmations. Can I challenge all of us, especially in this area of children? Sorry, I'm focusing so much on that, but we love families here. Let's take it on board, knowing that they get one word of affirmation for every 7 words of criticism. Let's all, the kids that you have influence in, and if you see a kid running around, you've got influence, okay, because you're big and they're small. And give them a word of affirmation. Let's try to counteract all those words of criticism they get. You and I can do that. Good communication chooses words wisely. Proverbs also tells us the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. That's back to the, right, we're going to listen carefully, but we're going to think. Your words have power. Once they're spoken, you can't get them back. So in every conversation, ask yourself this. Am I steering this in a positive direction, or am I setting something on fire with my words? Back to our sticks and stones. Sticks and stones may break my bones. This is more accurate, but words will last forever. Our words matter, so choose wisely. So once we've listened well and we've determined we're going to choose our words wisely, then, and only then, see, we're not talking yet. We're still listening and choosing, right? It's a long time that we've spent listening and choosing. Then, speak the truth in love, all right? So you've listened well. Now you've chosen your words wisely. Now you're going to speak the truth in love. What does that mean? That means this. It means good communication includes how we speak, not just what we speak. You know, you can say the right words, but our tone and intonations and everything, how we say the words often speak way louder than the words do. It says what we speak, we need to speak the truth. Okay, we need to speak the truth, not lies that seem clear. That seems clear and easy. It says this, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. That is simple, right? We're just gonna tell the truth. That also means not from a place of pride, not from a place of manipulation, trying to get what we want out of that person. We're speaking truth. But how we speak it, verse 26 says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. That's how we are to speak. See, the words we say need to be true, but the way we say them communicates often louder than the words do. You know, you can be in a conversation and you're listening well, you're trying to listen well, but you have a truth bomb that needs to come out, right? Anybody ever think that? Yeah, I got a truth bomb for you. I'm waiting. I'm gonna throw that truth bomb on you, right? What do bombs do? They blow things up. They blow relationships up. You may have the truth, but if you use it as a bomb, you're gonna blow up the relationship. How we speak matters. Our goal in a conversation, even a debate, should never be to win, especially with people we love. Because if you win, what have you won? If you win a conversation with your spouse or your partner, what have you won? Now you're married to a loser. Yeah, see? And if I called your spouse a loser, you'd be upset with me, right? But if you're trying to win, you get it. Oh, so it's so simple when we stop and think a little bit. You know, when communication breaks down, emotions flare up. And Paul urges us there in 1 Corinthians or Ephesians that we need to address issues truthfully, but with grace, without anger, without the emotion controlling us. You know, that means sometimes we need to wait to communicate. If you know you're not in a great place to communicate, then don't. Call a timeout. Say, hey, actually, this isn't going to be helpful, so I need to take a timeout. I need to go for a walk. I need to breathe a little bit before we try to have this conversation. Our goal should always be to build up and not to tear down. Even in conflict, we should be focused on restoration and reconciliation, not retaliation. Wow. You know, when I prepare sermons like this, just imagine, okay, so I'm saying some things that are kind of hard, right? Right? I've been chewing on these things for quite a while now before I'm saying them to you. So yeah, God's already doing this in me, telling me all this before I'm telling you this. So if you're thinking, ouch, 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 yeah, that's coming from a heart that's already going, ouch, ouch, ouch. Colossians chapter 4 says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Conversation, be gracious and attractive. And then Proverbs again tells us, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. You know, Jesus consistently spoke truth. He never lied, but he never used it as a weapon to wound. Jesus never shied away from speaking truth, but he did it with grace and humility. When he had the woman who had been caught in adultery brought to him, what did he say? Neither do I condemn you. Grace. Go and sin no more. Truth. Again, it's so simple when we see it, but sometimes we are in such a hurry to communicate, to say what we think, to drop those truth bombs that we don't stop and think, am I doing this with grace and truth? How we speak matters more than the words we speak. Ephesians 4:15, we already said, speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, that means we speak truth as assertiveness, we're telling the truth, but not aggressiveness. There's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. And when we're aggressive, that doesn't go well. We need to speak directly and honestly. When I say being assertive is expressing your needs. It's not holding those back. It's letting someone know that, hey, there's something I need here that maybe isn't happening here, but it does it in a way that is assertive without being aggressive. It communicates clearly. And very practical way to do that is use I statements and not you statements. Let's go back, or let's look at this. It says, I feel concerned when this happens versus you always do this. Now, if we go back to our first illustration about active listening, that statement, I would like to spend more time together in the evenings. It would make me feel valued. Okay, that is a generous way to say that. What that person could have said and was probably thinking before they chose their words wisely was this. You never spend time with me. You always play video games or work in the evenings. You don't care about me. Right? Does it look similar? It's the same. It's kind of the same thing. But what response is this one going to get? It's going to get defensiveness. That's going to spiral really quickly into an argument and get really yucky and ugly, right? Because that wasn't chosen wisely where this one was. Listen well. Choose wisely. Speak the truth in love. And then Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Good communication, finally, builds bridges, not barriers. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build bridges through communications. We need to use words that heal and strengthen relationships, not create walls. If you're using harsh words or being aggressive, it's not going to be good and helpful like Ephesians says there. The words we choose come from the heart. In the heart are the things that we meditate on and the things that we think about. So if you want to build bridges and not barriers, we need to think properly. Philippians chapter 4 says this, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I want you to think about this. When you're getting ready to communicate with someone, do it through that filter. Okay, what about that person is praiseworthy? What can I think about that person that's honorable and right and pure and lovely? Because that person's not all bad, especially if you're sitting by them. You either love them or you gave birth to them, right? You actually want good and you believe good about them. You actually believe some of these things, that it's lovely and pure and all of that. Before you communicate harshly and build the barrier, think about those things. What are three good things about the person? And then start there. You can get to the problem. You'll get there. But start here. Start with pure thoughts. See, criticism breaks trust. Encouragement's going to build it. Make it a habit to affirm the others that you're wanting to communicate with. So, do you want to avoid the relationship slip of poor communication? Anybody? You want to avoid that? Yeah, I see double hands going up. You're excited. Woo! I want you to as well. I want to avoid it in my life as well. Then we need to have powerful conversations. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So just to wrap this up, remember, good communication starts with good listening. So you need to be an active listener. Be an active listener. James 1:19 tells us we need to be an active listener. Listen fully before speaking. Then good communication chooses words wisely. We need to be affirming. Be an active listener and be affirming. Focus on praiseworthy things. Build others up through encouragement. Then remember, good communication includes how we speak, not just what we speak. Be assertive, not aggressive. Speak the truth, but in love. And then finally, good communication builds bridges, not barriers. We need to avoid criticism. We need to use words that strengthen and do not destroy. The way we communicate determines whether our relationships slip and slide or grip and grow. I want to choose to let my relationships grip and grow, not become relation slips. I hope that's your heart too. So that they can grow into something deeper and stronger. We must choose our words wisely. We must speak the truth with grace and focus on what builds up. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we close, I want you to take this home. If you're looking for a take-home statement, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to have you say it with me. But I will listen fully, choose wisely, speak kindly to build bridges, not barriers. If you weren't listening the whole sermon and you just tuned back in because I said stand up, take this home with you today. I will listen fully, choose wisely, speak kindly to build bridges and not barriers. Father, thank you for giving us communication. Because Lord, through communication, we can love, we can encourage, we can be affirmed by listening. Lord, thank you so much. And Lord, while you gave us a great tool, sometimes we don't know how to use it right. Or Lord, even if we do know how, sometimes we get in a hurry and forget. Thank you for the reminders that you gave today, Lord, through your word, and Lord, help us put them into practice so that we will build our relationships strong. So that, Lord, whatever we're dealing with, Lord, that even with serious problems and serious issues in our lives, Lord, help us to establish good communication that can start helping us have breakthroughs in those things. And Lord, help our relationships be honoring to you and encouraging to each other. In Jesus' name, amen.